we're on page 20, which is Simon Tuf Mem, which is the equivalent of 440.
Okay.
And the subject of our discussion today will be chametz that belongs not to me, but belongs to John Paul Jones, to a guy, but he deposits his chametz in my possession. And then the question is, do I have any responsibility, and am I liable for what's called bal yiro, bal yimotze, where the Torah says you're not allowed to have chametz in your house where you'll see it, or you might see it. And the Mechaber says, Eina Yehudi shehifkid chemtzo eitzel Yisrael. Okay, so we're talking about a guy who deposits his chametz in the possession of Yisrael. So imagine you're in your house, and you live in Malei Adumim, and you have chametz that belongs to a guy in your house. So the Mechaber says the following. It depends. If the Yisrael has responsibility, let's say for example he's being paid as a custodian, that makes him into what's called the Shomer Socher, and Shomer Socher is chayv for gnev v'aveda, which means that if it gets stolen or it gets lost, you as a Shomer have to replace it. You're responsible, you have to compensate. Is then you have a serious problem. And the bottom line is going to be what's called Chayav Levaro, which we'll get to in a second. You're going to have to destroy it, because otherwise you're in violation of Bal Yiro, Bal Yimotze. And we're going to get into this in the Mishnah Berurah in just a minute. The Mechaber adds the following, and here we're going from page 20 over to page 21.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Bein Shehu Bebeso, Bein Shehu Bechol Mokom Bershuso, Chayav Levaro. In other words, don't think that you're only responsible for the chametz if it's in your house. What if it's outside your house? Let's say in a yard. That's called reshuso. And the Mechaber says, even in that case, you're liable for the chametz because you accepted achrayus, which means that you are responsible for the chametz. Somehow the responsibility of the chametz is the key of keys here to understand. That's sort of like the agent or the catalyst to generate a chiyuv for this chametz. You're chayv for this chametz because of what's called achrayus. And that's what we have to understand. What is achrayus and why does it generate an iser chametz and force you to be mavar the chametz? So let's start with the Mishnah Berurah. I'm warning you, there are a lot of Mishnah Berurahs here.
Okay.
And they're very long, but we're going to try to plow through this the best that we can.
Okay.
Step by step. We start with an introduction that's given here by the Mishnah Berurah in number Aleph, which is back on page 20. He says the Tziv. The Torah says, Si'or lo yimotze batechem. That means something that's a dough that rose and therefore it's chametz cannot be found in your house. Mashma. It would seem to imply that, you know, because it's unqualified, it just said sar, it doesn't say your sar. Mashma would seem to imply that afilu hasi'or she'eno shelo legamre, even though it's not his completely, gam kein osu min haTorah. It's also prohibited. You're not allowed to have chametz in your house, even though technically you don't own the chametz. Miu al kolpan imairi. However, when the Torah says siar, including any siar, even though you don't own it, it at least requires shekibel olav achrayus. That's the minimum amount of ownership that you have. So again, the word achrayus now becomes a kind of catchphrase to imply ownership. And we have to again understand this. I mean, we have to be very patient here to understand why achrayus generates ownership. And that ownership is a, shall we call it a miktas bailus? It's a partial ownership. I mean, it's not really yours. I mean, you're responsible for it, but it's not yours. The achshavei krokish alo ayidezeh. The Torah considers it as if it's yours because you accepted achrayus, you accepted responsibility. The pikadon bi'alma b'lo achrayus. If you have somebody else's chametz, but you didn't take any responsibility for it. Leka isuro lahashos. In that case, we don't apply the principle of siar lo yimotze bibatechem. Minechsiv kra achrina, because there's another pasuk that says lo yiroe lecha. And here you have to underline the word lecha. Vidarshina, we darshin from that lecha shalcha yataroe. You're not allowed to see chametz that's yours. Avalataroe shalacherim, but you're allowed to see the chametz of others, because you don't own that chametz. So now we see that ownership is a prerequisite a precondition for the violation of this isur. So then what do we do with the pasuk? Siar lo yimatzi batechem. Siar means any siar, even if it's not yours. So we have now a contradiction between two psukim. One pasuk indicates that any chametz is prohibited, even if it's not yours. Get it out of your rishus. Get it out of your house. The other pasuk seems to indicate that in order to violate this isur, it's got to be your chametz. If it's not your chametz, no problem. So how do we reconcile these two? And the answer is, we need something which jacks up your relationship to the object as a kind of a bialus. It's not a full-fledged bialus, but there's a partial bialus. And that partial bialus is considered by the Torah as if it's yours. What jacks up your bialus here on something, on chametz that's not yours? The answer is Kabbalah Sakrayas. If you accept upon yourself achrayus, that if this object that you're depositing, this chametz, is lost or stolen, I will replace it, I will pay for it, that itself makes me into a quasi-bialim. I'm not a full-fledged bialim, I don't own this chametz, it's yours, but nevertheless it's as if I own it. Because the Torah makes it as if I own it. Why is the Torah considered as if I own it? Because I'm very desperate that this chametz should be alive and well and healthy. If the chametz gets ill, I'll send it to the best doctor in the world because I don't want to pay for this chametz if it's lost. So the last thing that I want in this world is that the chametz should be destroyed. And the Torah says if there's chametz in your possession and you want it to live and thrive and you want it to exist, which is called in the language of the Gemara, Rotze Bekiyumo, he wants the chametz so much, that's considered any lucha. It's as if it's your chametz. It's not your chametz. It belongs to the God. But you know, and you accepted a binding agreement that if, in event that this object, this chametz is lost, you're going to have to replace it. That's going to cost you money. In such a case, you makabel achrayus, and that gives you a status of lucha. It's as if you own it. That's what he says. That a Torah achshave kishalo al yedezeh.
We're not even asking why this Jew would even do this. That's not the question. The question is, he did it, and now.
Well, the Gemara's case is a very interesting case. The Gemara says that we're talking about a guy that forced you to accept achrayus. Now, how would that happen? So back in the day, the government would require that the local people would feed the troops, the military soldiers, when they were passing through a town. So, let's say, for example, the government would supply. It's like what do they call those things? You know, where the school that they pay lunch programs. You remember that phrase, lunch program?
Sure.
So there was a lunch program that was offered by the government for the military, and you, as a Jew, you were in charge of holding stockpiles of chametz, so that when the troops went through, you'd be able to feed them. Imagine freezing chametz in a freezer in order to feed the troops, and the government requires that of you. So you. And the government's going to tell you, if you don't feed the troops, you're going to be responsible. We're going to sue you in a court for all that chametz that you ate, and you should have been feeding it to the troops. But in any event, let's say, for example, a guy came to me a month before Pesach, and he said to me, "You know what? I'm willing to pay you if you'll watch my whiskey for me."
Sure.
And I thought in my mind that by Pesach time, for sure you'll come by and you'll recollect your whiskey. And lo and behold, you didn't come. And now I'm in trouble. Why? Because I already accepted responsibility. You gave me a shtickle parnos. You're paying me 100 shekel a day to watch your whiskey. I don't know. That's exaggerating. But and lo and behold, Pesach popped up out of nowhere. And I'm holding on to whiskey that's chametz gamur, and it belongs to a guy, so it's not lecha technically. But the Torah says siar lo yimatzi batechem, and siar means any siar. So how do we recognize any siar with the fact that it says lo yiroh lecha, it's yours? The answer is there's some sort of midway, halfway measure of ownership because I have a chrayis. I have a chrayis to the extent that if this chametz, which is worth $250, is lost, I'm going to have to pay you $250. So this chametz represents for me a value of $250 of my money, because if it's lost, If it's stolen, I'm going to have to pay out of pocket $250. So if that chametz represents for me a value of $250 that's mine, then I'm considered like the owner of that chametz, as far as Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzi is concerned. Now, what is Kabbal, when we say that he was Makabal, he accepted, the Jew accepted Achrayis, what does that mean? Does that mean A or B? A, it's a formal declaration, or B, it has to be a formal kinyan, what we call an act of a kinyan.
Declaration is not a kinyan? A kinyan is...
Oh, a declaration is never a kinyan. Okay. Well, I shouldn't say never, the only exception is Hegdesh, but besides Hegdesh, declaration is never recognized as a valid kinyan. Kinyan means picking it up, or what we call a kinyan sudar. You know what a kinyan sudar is?
No.
Have you ever seen it? Like, for example, when you sell chametz,
sure. A pen or
a handkerchief, right. That's what goes on under the chuppah
for
the ksuba. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Mairi, the last few words on page 20, Shekibel of Achrayis Behedya. Notice he made an explicit pronouncement. Vikanu miyod. And he had a kinyan suda.
This is why under the chuppah, the chatan has to give the kalah the ring, as opposed to haray.
Well, yes and no. Oh, I mean, the ring itself is a little bit different. The ring itself is not what you call a kinyan sudar. That's a kinyan kesef. What I meant by kinyan sudar is when, if you've ever seen what they call the chassan's tish, and they have the writing of the ksuba.
Yeah.
So if you pay attention very carefully, you'll see that the rabbi calls over the two witnesses who are about to sign on the ksuba. And at that point, he makes what's called a Kabbalist Kinyan, a Kinyan Sudar, that the Baal, the husband, or called the groom at this point, accepts upon himself a commitment to pay all the fees that are written in the Ksuba, and that commitment is binding by virtue of the fact that they held a handkerchief. Which
At that point, right. Okay.
So, you know, a lot of the issues with the Ksuba, especially in contemporary life, is because the wedding itself takes place sometime between Shkia and Tzeis HaKochav.
You can't
always get it on time. And the question is, which date to write in the Ksuba? And it's really complicated, because if it's a Shtar Mukdam, it's possible. If you wrote yesterday's date instead of today, the Ksuba is not worth a dime. So what we do is what's called this Kabbalah's Kinyan that I spoke to you about before, when you pick up a Suda.
Okay.
Now that's done clearly at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 o'clock, whenever they start the hors d'oeuvres, after tish. So that already clinches the ksuba such that you can use the old date and you don't have to put in tomorrow's date.
Okay.
And then the ksuba remains kosher.
Sure.
Says the Mishnah Berurah, di lav hachi, if he didn't have a kinyan miyado, ain din shomrim li akum. Meaning there's a difference between a shomer who is responsible for an object that was deposited him in his possession by a Jew, as opposed to a shomer who's watching for the goy. In the case of a Jew, a verbal pronouncement would be sufficient. Meaning, let's say you say to me, Rabbi Berzon, I want you to watch my cow, or I want you to watch my expensive jewelry. So I say to you, Hanach lefanai, just leave it here. That itself is considered a Kabbalah Sakhrayis. But that's not so in the case of a goy. When I say Hanach lefanai to a goy, I mean to say, you know what, I'm not going to check with you. Find yourself a place and put it down. But I'm not responsible for it. So in order to jack up the shomer, in the case of an akum, meaning the akum is the mafkin, to jack up the shomer to the level of Kabbalah Sakhrayis, you need what's called a kinyan biyado. Why? Because the object belongs to a goy. And then the Mishnah Berurah says, "V'yindin hamalchus shemeschay b'achrayus." But if the government law requires him to be responsible, like we spoke about before, the lunch program is afilu b'stama, even if there was no mention of kabbalas achrayus, it's assumed. It's what you call like a tacit agreement. Mishash and asas shomer af below kinyan. So sometimes you become a shomer wanting to or not wanting to, simply because the government makes you into a shomer. Do we have anything like that in modern contemporary life where the government makes you into a shomer? I'm trying to think. Nothing comes to mind today, but...
Because we're more liberated today, we're not under the government.
Right, maybe in a communist country, it could be very shy if that you... You know, you don't own any of your property. You know, it's owned by the communist state. And if anything gets lost or destroyed, maybe you're responsible for that. I don't know. It's interesting. How are you going to be responsible if there's no private money? I guess they allow you some money, you know, to pay your bills, but not too much money. Here in Israel, the closest thing to communism is a kibbutz. But today's kibbutzim are different than the old days. You know, 100 years ago, the kibbutzim
were... not a real communal.
For example, this whole thing that the children, you know, sleep with together in a house. You know, all the kids are deposited. They don't live in their home. That kibbutz doesn't exist today. No. And that was part of the original kibbutz philosophy. It was mamish critical to their whole way of life that the children would live in a special house for children.
It was a big study. Bruno Bettelheim. Remember, I read it in high school and again in college. Wrote a whole study on children with kibbutz.
Right. Today they don't believe in it anymore. Yeah. And even in the left-wing kibbutzim, the children live with their families, mostly. Yeah. Mel, do you know Phil? Phil Mel?
Hi.
Okay, I just want to say hello to each other. All right, now, there might be another Mishnah right here. Let's see. Yeah, here's one for you, Mel.
Thank you.
So, Mel, just to keep you updated, we're talking about the possibility of having chametz in your possession on Pesach because the chametz belongs to a guy.
So this again?
The chametz belongs to a guy, and he deposits it in your possession. Are you allowed to keep that chametz over Pesach? And the Mishnah Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch differentiate between two scenarios. One scenario is which has Kabbalah Sachrayas, that you accept responsibility that in event that the chametz is lost or stolen, you have to replace it, you have to pay for that. That's called the Shomer Sachar.
Right.
So let's say, for example, now we're a few months before Pesach and the guy comes to me, has a bottle of whiskey and says, you know what, Rabbi Berzon, I'll pay you $10 a day if you hold on to the whiskey for me. And I accept a chrayis. But in the next 2 months, I think you'll certainly come, the guy will certainly come and collect his whiskey. And lo and behold, he didn't come and collect his whiskey. I'm stuck with his whiskey and it's Pesach. And I accepted a chrayis. And the Mechaber says, in such a case, I have to get rid of that chametz. We'll go into the details as we go along. Then there's another scenario where I say to the guy, you know, just leave it, just find a corner in my house and put it down. I don't want to chep with the guy, but I never accepted a chrayis. In that case, I don't violate any surim. I don't have to destroy the chametz. I'm not liable for the chametz. So that's where, just to keep you up to date of where we are. Now, we're up to the Mishnah Berurah on the first of the wide lines. That's number Gimel. And it starts with the words, B'chol Makom Birshusa. The Mechaber says that even if the chametz of the guy that you accepted a chrayis on, that's the problematic case, is not in your house, but it's somewhere in your reshuts, in your domain. Like, let's say, for example, you have a backyard, and the chametz is in the backyard. Even in such a case, you're responsible for the chametz because you accepted a chrayis.
You're responsible... as far as making
chametz sure that it doesn't, so you got to get rid of it. Get rid of it because otherwise you're going to violate Bali Rav, Bali Matzah.
But if it can't be seen, if it's in a closet somewhere,
still same thing. If you know where it is, now there are cases where you don't know where it is. That might be a little different.
All right, fine. Because the operative word here is
right. That's the key word here. Vafilu hiskir o hishil o makom b'fnei atzmo lechemtzo v'beisel chatzero. What happens, and this is what the Mishnah Berurah is addressing now, if I say to the guy, put your chametz in a certain place and I'll rent you that space, so that now really you own a piece of my, this is no gear, I don't know if you've ever read the shtar of mechiras chametz, when you sell your chametz with a rav. So the Rav has a document, he asks you to sign the document. Now on that document is if you read the fine print, it says that you're selling, I the undersigned, are selling all my chametz that are in the following closets.
Right.
And he makes a kinyan with you on behalf of the guy who's buying your chametz, that the place itself where the chametz is located, let's say, for example, you tell him that the chametz is in a certain closet, that place itself should be rented out to the guy. That's called schirus. In karka, things that are attached to the ground, schirus is a meaningful kinyan, so that now the chametz is not in your reshus. So now, in the case of a sale, even though you rented out that closet, and therefore you would say, well, it's not in your reshus, but there's only one catch, and that is, are you chayv b'achrayis for the chametz? And the answer is that in a sale, you're telling the guy, this is your chametz, I'm not responsible for it. But in the case that we're dealing with, of a shomer, which means that the Yisrael was asked to take the chametz of the guy and watch it and guard it, and he becomes a shomer in the sense that he's a he's taking responsibility for the supervision of the object, then it's not even going to help if he rents out a piece of his closet, you know, to the guy. It still is your chametz in your general reshus, and since it's in your general reshus, therefore, once you accept a chrayis, you're considered the owner of the chametz. Again, technically, who owns the chametz? John Paul Jones owns the chametz. The guy owns the chametz. But the Torah said that this is like your chametz because you're responsible for the chametz. Mikolakom, says the Mishnah Berurah, b'di'eved, what happens? You know, we have a problem called chametz over lof ha-pesach. Chametz that had to be destroyed, but he failed to destroy it. He ignored his responsibility. And here's a case where the chametz belongs to a guy. You accepted a chrayus. You are now liable for bal yirah bayim matzeh, and therefore, b'di'eved, you should be in violation of chametz over lof ha-pesach. But the answer is, here we're going to be lenient. Why? Because since you gave him schirus, you told the guy, I want to bequeath to you, so to speak, a piece of my property upon which your chametz will be located. So we rely on that, b'di'eved, if such a thing happened, after Pesach. That we're not going to prohibit the chametz after Pesach. Okay, let's talk about Yichud Makom. Now, this, I'm fast-forwarding by about three lines, so you'll see a line that starts with the word Mimenu. He says, V'yichud makom mikri, and we'll explain what this means, Kishem yached lo befanov bayis o cheder o zavis betok beis o beschiris o besheela. In order to effectuate this kind of a schirus, where I'm renting space in my house to the guy so that he can keep his chametz in his possession and not my possession, what we require is called yichud makom. It's not enough to say, well, you know, my friend John, wherever you find a place, just leave your chametz. No, you have to designate a certain room or a corner of the house, a corner of the room, and say, that's going to be yours. And that's where you want to keep your chametz. Aval im kibo mimenu pikadum b'li yichud makom. If there was no designation of a place at the time that he accepted achrayus, afal ka v'achakach yiched lo makom, even though afterwards he did designate a place, but it was shalom midas ha'akum, the Yisrael did it al das atzmo, he made that decision himself, is lo mahani. That's not considered a rental agreement. A rental agreement must be where I specify a place, this is your closet, it's yours, and you rent it, and the Akum knows about that. But if you do it without his knowledge, that's not considered Yichud Makom. Now we're up to the Mishnah Berurah Dalet. The Mechaber says on the top line, Chayav Levaro, since you accepted a prize for the Goy's Chometz, you got to destroy it. Says the Mishnah Berurah, B'shashi Yigiyaz Man Abiyur. That means at the beginning of the sixth hour on Erev Pesach, which is 1 hour before midday, that's when you have to get rid of your chametz. And now you have to get rid of not only your own chametz, but the chametz that belongs to a guy because you took a chrayus on his chametz. Im ein ha'akum kan, she'achzirolo. The simplest way of getting rid of this chametz is to give it to the guy. You know, call him up and say, John, you know, I took upon myself to protect your chametz, to love your chametz, to supervise your chametz, and so forth, but only up to a certain point in time. Come and get it. Otherwise, I'm going to have to destroy it. So he notifies the guy. So in that case, if the guy comes and the Jew returns the chametz to the guy, everything's fine. You don't have to destroy it. But what happens if the guy is not here? You know, he's out in Honolulu and he's not coming to collect his chametz. So you're stuck with his chametz and you have a chrayus on his chametz. So the question is, im mahani baze bitel u'mechira kamo b'chavei shalom. We have halacha bitel chametz, and as far as the Torah is concerned, bitel chametz is enough to protect you from bal yirah bal yimotzeh. Here, this is not your chametz. The chametz belongs to a guy. Now, thus you accepted achrayus, that makes it into quasi your chametz. But now you made bittul. So if you recited bittul, then great, you no longer have any connection to this chametz. Says the Mishnah Berurah, yesh deos b'achronin. If you don't mind, I'm also going to stand. I hope it doesn't bother anybody. So he says, yesh deos b'achronin. There's a machlok, there's a controversy on this issue. Let me try to explain what I think lies at the root of this issue. You accepted a prize, which means that if the chametz is lost, it's a $250 bottle of whiskey, you're going to replace it. And now you say bittel, you say, well, this chametz in my eyes is like the dust of the earth, like who are you fooling? That's, you know, that's not a serious bittel, that's a genuine and sincere, because truth is, you don't want this chametz
to
be lost.
It's not yours, you're only responsible for it.
You're responsible, but it's...
But it's not yours.
It's not yours, and you're responsible. But, yep. But if I ask you, do you want the chametz to continue to exist, or do you want it to get destroyed? Sure as anything, you can tell me. I don't want to pay for this expense.
Even if I mavatel it, it still belongs to the guy.
Well, that's true, but it's no longer mine. You know, so can I? Take,
and therefore, I can't be responsible for it. It's no longer mine.
Can you mavatel something that doesn't belong to you?
Again, as far as Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh is concerned, it does belong to you, right? That was the discussion.
Yeah, right, right.
So, if you have a chrayus and therefore it's yours, you can be mevatel your ownership, and there's going to be one opinion that says that's fine. I'm only here to defend the other opinion that says it's not fine. And I think the reason for that is that there's a contradiction in almost minei ubei, as we say, because how can you tell me that this chametz in your eyes is like the dust of the earth, you don't want it to exist, you have no connection to it, and at the same time, you want it to live and exist because you want to return it to the guy. If you don't return it to the guy, you're going to pay big time for that. Again, not for a loaf of bread necessarily, which is worth 10 copecks, but right. if it's a whiskey that you
that's
know,
only
I'm pretty sure that there's whiskey that a bottle could go for $500. Am I exaggerating?
I would assume there is.
I'm not an expert at whiskey, but there's real expensive whiskey, you know, and it's chametz gomur. So he says the following: the harbe mehem smirlu, according to many of the opinions of the poskim neachronim, lo mahani. So he says something totally different. He's not saying lo mahani that the bittul is meaningless because he's insincere and he's not genuine about it. But he's saying that bittul doesn't work on something that's like yours, but it's not really yours. Because again, the guy owns the chametz, you have a chrayus on the chametz. But harbe mehem mekilu b'dover. So he has a who's list amongst the achronim that are making on this. He says, lefi das amogin avram, yesh takono, there is salvation here. She yafsa v'yafkein v'yafkido b'yad akum acher. He can take the chametz and pass it on to another guy, and the other guy is going to now take over his responsibility. Now again, he has to find a guy who's willing to do that. And not only that,
he's basically subcontracting what he
is. Subcontracting. Now, is this subcontracting on achrayus of a shomer? So that's a whole sugya that we learned when we were in fourth grade that was called shomer shamos al shomer. You know, it's a sugya in the second parak of Bava Metzia. In the third parak of Bava Metzia, and that's called Shomer Shamos al Shomer. Can you remove your achrayus and bring in somebody else?
You're not so simple. You're not really removing your arthritis.
Well, you don't have to get rid of the chametz.
You still have acharias to that original guy.
All right, so then we're in trouble, because if you still have acharias to the original guy,
unless he says it's okay, pass it on to him and he takes responsibility.
So again, that's the sugya of shomer shemassel shomer, which I'm not getting into now. But I just want to point out one thing, Mel. If you can't get out of your acharias by giving it to another guy for whatever reason, then we're in trouble. We haven't solved this single problem.
We haven't solved any issue at all.
Correct, because you still are considered the owner of your chametz. Phil, you have to go?
Go
ahead. Phil has to go, but Mel, we could go a little bit longer.
I'll be back on Wednesday.
Okay, we'll see you on Wednesday.
That's right.
He says, Oshi Yimkar Habayis, here's another possible option. He could actually sell his house. Now again, this is complicated, you know, especially in contemporary life, you know, enter into a building.
You sell your house.
You can sell your house.
You can only do it if you're going away for Pesach. If you're going to be in that house, you can't sell it.
Well, yes and no. If you're talking about you have your own chametz in your house, then selling the house is not going to do you any good because you're living in the house. But if it's the chametz of a guy, and the only problem is that the chametz of the guy is considered as if it's in your rishus, then what you can do is you can say to the guy, look, I'm going to sell you my house. I don't want any achrayas for this chametz because it's no longer my house. Now it's in your house. You're going to allow me to live in this house, but it's your house and it's your chametz, and then I don't violate by your own chametz.
That I would have...
Again, I'm not telling you this is an easy... It's not an easy option. It's very complicated.
If you're selling your house, right, then you have to get rid of all your chametz in your house. You've sold your chametz already in your house, but it's still there.
Okay, so your chametz you have to get rid of, and that's right. For sure. You know, okay. Kind of bedika and beer and the whole nine yards.
But as far as the guy's chametz,
and now it's not only the guy's chametz, but it's the guy's chametz that's in his house.
Okay.
So for my own chametz, for sure I'm responsible and have to do bedika and beer. But if it's a chametz al akum, so I'm chayav for chametz al akum because A, it's in my rishus. B, I accepted Christ. But now we've completely neutralized both A and B because I gave him the house, so it's not my rishus. So you can't say it's chametz al akum b'rishus Yisrael. Number two, I said to him, look, now it's your house. I don't want any responsibility for the chametz that's in your house. So I removed my kabbalah sakrat. Again, it's very complicated. All these options are very complicated. The only option that's not so complicated is simply to tell the guy, I'm not responsible. You know, I took responsibility up to Pesach, but not beyond Pesach.
How do we get ourselves into these kind of messes?
Well, he's paying you a good, you know, this is your profession. Let's say, for example, you're not rich enough to own whiskey store, or whatever.
Or you have a bonded warehouse.
Yeah, so I have a warehouse. What are they called in Queens? They have those cubicles, you know.
The storage places.
Storage places, right. Yeah, there's a... you know, there's a whole company, you know, you pay per week or per month for storage.
Right. Yeah.
So I make a living out of offering storage space to a guy. That's my parnasa in life. And the guy decides that he wants to keep chametz there. I mean,
they really have no idea at that moment of time when you're doing.
Well, in some cases,
it's different. When the guy gives it to you and you're holding on to this one thing.
Right, in some cases, when the guy rents your storage space, he says to you, here's an invoice of whatever I'm putting in there, and you become responsible for it.
I'm saying
there is such a thing, though. I mean, I'm not telling you it's.
Yeah, there are bonded warehouses where I put stuff in there, and it's mine, but you're watching it for me, all right?
Right. So if there's, let's say, again, today we have insurances, but forgetting about all the modern, you know, twists, we're talking about a case where the Jew makes a living by watching, you know, by storing chametz for the guy. Again, we're talking about expensive chametz, not a loaf of bread, that's not going to last more than a day or two. And now there's a problem because if the Jew is not only offering rental space for the guy, but he's also adding a responsibility clause that if somebody breaks into this storage space, then the Jew who owns this storage space is held liable and responsible. He signed a document to that effect. and it's chametz in there, that's a problem. And that's what we're talking about here. So how do you solve the problem? Well, look, one way of solving the problem is to, if you, again, each one of these methods is going to be complicated. And I'm not telling you it's easy. It depends on all sorts of factors. One factor, one way of solving this problem is to make a contract with the goy that says to the goy that by Pesach time, he, the goy, has to either collect his chametz or alleviate the Jew of his responsibility on that chametz. That's one option. That's the best option. That's a clean, you know, glot. That's a glot kosher option. The other option would be to do bittul. This is really complicated. Can you declare bittul on someone else's chametz? The chametz belongs to the guy, and you're telling me, well, it's not mine. Why isn't it yours? The halacha says it's yours because you're responsible for it. Now you're being mevatel the chametz. Then he has a third option. Maybe you could rent space to the guy. The guy is paying you for rental, but now you could say to the guy, well, now it becomes yours. And then it becomes chametz shel achum b'rishus ha'achum. And that itself might be enough to solve them. So again, these are all different kinds of solutions to the problem. Hopefully we won't get into this problem, but in case we do, you know, that law has to address every possible scenario. Now, you have chametz of a guy. It's in your rishus and you're responsible for the chametz. What do you have to do? You have to destroy the chametz. Says the Mishnah Berurah number hey. If Avar Velo Biaro, if he was negligent, he neglected his responsibility, he didn't destroy the chametz, the Avar Olav HaPesach, and now he's holding the chametz the entire Pesach, is Ladas Harvik Hoskim, again he gives a whole list here in the Shaar Tzion, the Magen Avraham, the Pre-Kodesh, Shagasai, it's like a who's list in the Akronim. Asar Bachilu Bano, this chametz is Asar Bachilu Bano. Now, you know, I'm not sure why this is so relevant, because after Pesach, I'm going to tell the guy, take your chametz and run with it. He doesn't have an Issur chametz, so he can eat the chametz. Says the Mishnah Berurah, he says, if the guy comes after Pesach and he wants to collect his chametz, Rashoi, you're allowed to give back his chametz, because it's his. You're benefiting from the chametz, because by giving it back, you exempt yourself from any responsibility. Lo ichpas lon kama bameshe nene mizeshe poreh chovo. And according to this school of thought of these poskim, it's irrelevant to the fact that you are benefiting from returning the chametz, because you have a right to return chametz to its rightful owner. Ubimokom diyesh lochu sheyachzor ha'akum v'yifim perenel Yisrael. What if the fear is that the guy is going to take this whiskey and he's going to sell, he has a whiskey store, he's going to sell it to a Jew. The Jew, of course, unbeknown to him, is taking chametz shavu'ah of a Pesach, which is also about not. Is v'yikashel Yisrael v'yisur chametz shavu'ah of a Pesach, yishlamet di'osu l'hachzir. Wow, he's now saying that if there's serious fear, serious suspicion that the guy is going to sell this whiskey, and amongst his clients, he has Jewish clients, then it's a real problem.
Alright.
He says, V'yesh mekiwim v'ikra adinu d'dhu lo gozu chachom b'chom shom v'lapesa el v'chemtsu she yisro v'lo v'chemtsu shal akum ha'mufkad v'yad yisro. So he has one opinion here that there's no chom shom v'lapesa on chom shal akum v'rshus Yisrael. We can rely on, fall back on this opinion, at least as far as selling, I shouldn't say selling, but returning the chametz to the goy, which was an issue that we mentioned before. Some were allowed, were lenient, some were machmir, but we can add to this whole discussion the opinion that says that there's no din of chametz sha'ovel and pesach on this chametz. By the way, you see clearly that it's not the real McCoy Bal Yerovai Matze that he violated. Meaning there are two levels of Bal Yerovai Matze. One is chametz that you own, chas v'shalom, and you left it in your possession. That becomes chametz sha'ol over all of a Pesach, after Pesach. And then is chametz that belongs to a guy. But since you accepted a price, you become a quasi-bialim. It's almost like it's yours, but it's not really yours. And the difference would be that if you violated that Isur, and instead of destroying the chametz, you let the chametz last until after Pesach, it does not become chametz shavuah and Pesach. Why? Because it's not the same severity of the Isur of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatz. It's a secondary category. I remember when I was a kid, Mel, maybe you'll remember this as well, that after Pesach, when we wanted to restock ourselves with cereals and the like, we had to make sure that the supermarket chain was owned by Goyim. We used to go to AMP. You remember that?
Right.
But then there was something called Wallbound. So I don't know if it still exists. I'm out of it for a while. And that was owned by
Jews. It certainly doesn't exist where we live, right? Yeah. It's a big problem, right?
Because it's interesting. If Wallbounds didn't sell their chametz, assuming they're Jews, then I can't eat that chametz.
Right.
Now it's interesting. They violated the Easter chametz by not selling their chametz.
But therefore, I can't. It still exists. That every year there's a place called ShopRite in where we live, right? Yeah. And every year there's a letter that comes out that it's
chametz was sold.
The chametz was sold, or it's goyim, or something like that.
Right.
Right.
Here also in Israel, when you go to a supermarket after Pesach, you ask for a tudah, and the document says that we testify with rabbi signatures that their chametz was sold.
Right, they have that, all right? And in fact, what they have at ShopRite, and that's an issue not with chametz, it has to do with Chodesh and Yoshan, right? On Motzei, I once went to a store near ShopRite, and I see every Jew in town running to ShopRite. I'm wondering what's going on there. In the middle of the aisles, they have oatmeal and all kinds of pallets full of this stuff. And everybody's buying a year's worth of stuff because of Yoshan and Kodesh.
Oh, you're talking after Pesach?
After Pesach.
They're restocking Yoshan because until now it was a real problem. Yeah. Did you know Rabbi Herman from Muncie? He passed away.
No, didn't know.
He was the expert on Yoshan. He used to publish a book every year, a little book called Guide to Chodesh.
I think I've heard of it.
Yossi Herman, unfortunately just passed away. He spent endless energies to try to clarify what is a Chodesh problem.
And in fact now I see it online, the cutoff date for buying pasta and
right, so that's from Yossi Herman. I don't know what's going to be next year because he's not alive. And somebody must be hopefully volunteering to take his place. He did it, gratis. He never got paid for it. He was on his own. Anyway, so we get now to the Ramban, and that's going to give us Mishnah Berurah number four. So let's go up to the Ramban top. The Ramban says Vafilu Chazar, and here we have to turn to page 22. Bevkido Biyad Einu Yehudi Acher. So the Rabbah's opinion is that it's not enough to pass this chametz on to another guy. Says the Mishnah Berurah number Vav, Sharei Hu Kishalo, Mikem Shekibel of Achrayus. Once the Jew accepted Achrayus, it's like it's his chametz being gained.
Number 21. I'm sorry, I was looking in the wrong place.
Back. Yeah, because the Ramah is here and the Mishnah is here.
I was looking down at the Shara Tzion. I was wondering why.
Oh, it's Havile Kimafkir Chemtzo Biad Nochri Di Osu. Now, once the Jew accepted Achrayus, he becomes like the Bailin, this what we call this quasi Bailus. And if he puts the chametz in the possession of a guy, in other words, he deposits the chametz in a guy's possession, that's not enough. You can't take your chametz and give it over to a guy. You can sell it to a guy, but to simply deposit it in the guy's possession, that's not sufficient. Even if the second guy accepted upon himself a chayis, shahoy al Yisrael, afal pikein osa, dolo nifka al yudeis achrayis min Yisrael. This was what you were saying before, Mel, that even if a shomer's muscle is shomer, the first shomer still remains responsible, because the mafkin is going to come to the shomer and
he's
going
to
say,
the first guy, I don't get what he did.
When the shomer says, well, I gave it over to another shomer, the mafkin says, I'm not interested in hearing that. I want to know.
I'm dealing with you.
Our agreement was with you. Yesh mekilah, so who disagrees with the Ramah? the Magen Avraham, if you'll see in the Shaar Tzion on the bottom of the page, disagrees. The Kevin Mikomakom Gufa Chometz Eino Shalom Gam Eino Bebeso. If the Chometz is not his and now it's not in his house, he already gave it over to another guy. Imi Shum the Kibul of Achrayus the Gnei Veveda Harei Kenegdo Kibul Ha'akam Hasheni Al Atzmo. You have the Kabbal Sakrayas of the Jew, but you also have the Kabbal Sakrayas of the Shomer, who's a guy. Well, the Daitam, according to this opinion, the Magen Avraham, etc., is Hu Adin. Same thing applies to Yishamachar. Here we turn to page 22. Hacheder Shachomitz Munach Bo Li'akum. And that's what we discussed earlier, that if you sell the room or the closet where the Chomitz is to a guy, is Gamkein Shari, then you're allowed to hold on to the guy's chametz because it is in the guy's possession. Im ha'akum ze kibel al-achrayis shel gnei v'aveda, but only if the akum takes upon himself the achrayis. So now what
does it, when you sell your chametz,
yeah,
that doesn't have anything, that doesn't matter.
Yesh Omer, one of the Mechaber at the top line here on page 22, Shafilu Eino Olav El Shomer Chinam. Wow, until now we've been discussing a case where you rent out, where you have storage space for the guy and he pays you for that, right? He pays you.
Right.
This is your livelihood. You're not doing it because,
right,
you know, you're a good buddy of
yours.
Right. Now he's extending this Isur to the case where he's a Shomer Chinam, he's not even being paid, he's doing it gratis. That too is considered Kabbalas Achrayus. Now why I didn't accept Achrayus? Shechay b'pshir. Because even a Shomer Chinam on the lowest level has at least one Chiyuv that if he opens the door and he doesn't lock the door, then someone comes in and steals it. It's therefore Chayv Levar. Question is, how do we pass it here? Let's see. Ba'afilu v'eino chay b'akriyuso b'din el shiodeh sheini Yehudi ilem v'ichfehu l'shalem im yovad. You know, the guy who owns the chometz is the paritz, and if he finds out that this chometz that he deposited in your possession is lost, well, you're in deep trouble. And he's going to force you to pay for that chometz that was lost and replace it. Is in all these cases chayav levaro. According to this opinion, you have to destroy the chametz, even though you yourself are a shomer chinam, even if you don't have any achrayus. But this guy is a tough guy; he's a mafioso, and he's going to force you to pay. In all those cases, you have to be mevar the chametz, the yesh chalke. But there are those who are mekil, and they say it's okay if you didn't accept achrayus.
You have to really go shopping for a besak.
Right. Let's see if the Mishnah Berurah gives a clue how we paskin. Oh, take a look at Mishnah Berurah number 10 on the fourth of the wide line. He says, "Came to me solo kibul of a Christ who potter midin Torah we did malchus is ein hachomis nefshech shaloi dekfias haakum mikomkom ha'ikar kedeir rishon." Unfortunately, he's going back to the Mechaber's first opinion that in this case, you'd be held liable for Bal Yerovayim. When we call him over Allah, v'lo biro, the over Allah of Pesach, ein lahach. As far as Chometz Lav Shel Pesach, then we can be mekil, and you're allowed to eat the chometz, and we're not going to penalize. So that's because it's again, as we said before, it's not the original Isur of ownership on chometz. And therefore we can be made. So we'll stop here, and we'll make a note of the fact that we're up to Se'if Beis,
right.
And Belineda will try to finish this up tomorrow, and then we can go on to Tuf Mem Al. Okay, then
I'm trying to think what my wife arranged for the